Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes that are there in your bulletin that you received when you walk in. Summer Q&A, the question for today, how can I overcome loneliness? How can I overcome loneliness? Dear Abby, I am not happy. I am filled with emptiness and loneliness. Being near family and friends lifts my spirits, but only for a little while. Then I'm reminded once more of my loneliness and emptiness. Please tell me what to do. Signed, Searching for Happiness. Abby proceeds to tell this person to check for depression. Decent advice, because depression and alcoholism are driven primarily by loneliness. Today we're going to look at this subject. We're going to look at a man who was lonely. John chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was a pool, a Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches, waiting for a certain movement of the water, for an angel of the Lord came from time to time and stirred up the water. And the first person to step in after the water was stirred was healed of whatever disease he had. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Now, stop for a moment as we read this. What's the answer to that question? Well, of course. No, I'd like to stay sick for the rest of my life. Would you like to get well? Now, notice the man's response. And I want you to notice this. He does not answer the question. A simple yes would have been sufficed. He doesn't answer the question. He says, "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the waters bubble up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. I can't. I'm all alone. I can't. No one cares. I can't. No one understands." Do you hear it? You see it? Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." I love it. He just ignores him. "Look, I don't care whether you want to get well or not. Get up." Kind of the way it works, right? Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" How do you deal with loneliness? How do you overcome loneliness? First point, stop making excuses. What's the man do? "No one's here. I've been here 38 years. Nobody cares. I'm waiting for someone to help me. I've got no one. I can't. I'm all alone." Do you hear it? You see, many times when we're lonely, what do? We make excuses, don't we? "Well, I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because of this." And that's exactly what this man does. He begins making excuses, and his main excuse is, "Look, do you want to get well? Well, if I had some people around me, I could be a whole lot better. Well, if I had a friend who would help me. Well, if I had anybody who cared, I probably could get well. If I had family or somebody around, I maybe could make it the water before everybody else." On and on it goes. You see, there's basically three reasons for loneliness. Number one, it's a stage of life. Stage of life. You go into the military. You're in a place far away. You're lonely at times. You lose a spouse. There's a different change in life that happens, and suddenly you have to deal with suddenly being alone at times. You know, there's a change of location. you have to move and you don't know anyone. I always feel compassion when someone walks into these doors and tells me, I'm a guest here, I've never been here before. Why? Because here what I know, they feel all alone, don't they? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not connected. See, that's why it's important for us. If you see somebody you don't know, you need to say hi to them. You need to stop and talk to them. Now you say, well, what if I walk up to somebody I don't know and talk to them and find out they've been coming here for 10 years? Well, you just found out that if you wouldn't sit in the same old place every time, you could meet some new people. Okay, just saying. It's a stage of life. We go through it. Teenagers, they break up, something happens, they're all alone. They go away to college, there's a loneliness. All of those times are just stages of life. Second reason for loneliness is a silly decision. Now, I use the word silly. I really wanted to use the word stupid, okay? But for some of you who don't like that word, it's silly, okay? For me, it's stupid. You just make a bad decision. Well, I want to do my own thing. What's the result of that? You're a lonely person. Well, I'm going to run the race, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to get ahead in business. What happens? You're a lonely person. Or you're looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to find somebody, but you go online or you go somewhere else, and, oh, man, that's not the place. Or you're rigidly unyielding. Everybody has to conform to your way because, after all, your way is right. You're a lonely person. Well, I don't want to have any pain. I don't want to have any sorrow in my life. You're a lonely person. I just want to be left alone. You're a lonely person. Or you turn your back on folks who really care. You walk away from family, from a church family. Or you make a horrible decision that destroys a relationship. You're a lonely person. Maybe you're sarcastic or critical or always negative in what you say. Maybe conceited, self-centered, holier than thou, rude. Do you emotionally drain everyone around you? Guess what you are? You're a lonely person. You just make some decisions that create loneliness, and they don't have to be made that way. Third reason we're lonely, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. You see, the moment sin entered the picture, people became separated from God. That's what sin does. Sin separates. Became separated from God and from each other, and sin destroys relationships. And so we're constantly have to deal with this sin nature that has a battle that separates us. Do you know the reason you don't want to be around other people? You're a sinner. You don't want anybody finding that out. Newsflash, we already know. Isaiah 59:1. Listen, the Lord's arm's not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he's turned away and will not listen anymore. It's a spiritual battle. A husband and wife under the same roof, and two lonely people. A family. Husband, wife, kids. Do you know some of the loneliest people around are people who are in a family and married and just feel all alone? Sin separates us. Sin creates that. Our decisions create loneliness. Sometimes it's just the stage we're going through. It's there. So you and I have to understand that loneliness comes and goes, and we all have to deal with it, but we need to stop making excuses for our loneliness. If you're in here today and you're lonely, please listen to me, and I mean this with all care and concern. Stop making excuses. This man, do you want to get well? Well, you know, I've just got a problem. Do you want to not be lonely? Well, you know, nobody likes me. Well, I've tried all of this, and I've tried to be friendly, and I've tried to do this, and it just hasn't worked. I've tried this, and no one cares. No one understands. I won't ask for a show of hands this morning, okay? But we start making excuses, don't we? Stop it. Stop it. and start obeying God. Jesus said to the man, get up. He's making all the excuses in the world. And this is just me. I think Jesus just wanted to slap him. Stop it. Stop it. Get up. Get up and walk. Start obeying God. So how do I deal with loneliness? How do I overcome it? Now please hear this. I have to take responsibility. It's my decision. It's my responsibility to deal with this in a way that honors God. I will stop making excuses and I will start obeying God. Now, I'm going to give you some steps to take of how to have friendships, of how to have relationships, some character traits that you need to look at, I need to look at in our lives. Is this what I'm doing? And if I'm not doing that, then chances are I'm going to be a lonely person. So the first thing is, I need to be uncompromising in your choice of friends. Uncompromising in your choice of friends. Now here's the deal. In life, I want to be around people who are going to help me be a better Christian. Who are going to help me in my life and in my walk with God. I don't want to be friends with people who aren't godly. Now, I might have to work with them. I might have to be a neighbor to them. I might be an acquaintance with them. But they're not going to be my best friends. Because they're not going to help me in my walk with God. Because here's the deal. In my life, nothing is more important than me being closer to God. Agreed? And the people who aren't Christians aren't going to help me. So I need to be uncompromising as the people that I'm going to be close to, the people that I'm going to be influenced by, are people who are godly. Now, please understand something. If you're an independent person, independence breeds loneliness. You need people in your life. Now, I've told you this before, but let me just repeat it again. In order for you to be the person God wants you to be, oh God, help me to be everything you want me to be. Oh God, help me to do what you want me to do. Oh God, help me to reach that level that you have for me. Help me to be that person. In order for that to happen, you need other people to help you get there. You will not get there on your own because God built us for relationships and He built us to use people to help us grow. And again, told you again, you grow by two ways primarily in your walk. You grow through your problems or you grow through people. And sometimes people are problems. But you grow. So you come to that place where you understand God uses people to help me grow. Now, why in the world do you think we have connect groups? To help you grow. Why do we do it this way? To help you get to know other people. So that you just don't walk into a big building, sit in your seat, get up and leave, and don't know anybody. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't know anybody here. Please hear me. That's your own fault. Okay, that's quiet. Sunday school classes, connect groups. What are you waiting for? Well, I just can't meet any Christians. I just don't know any. Sunday school, connect groups, church. You see, if you just come in, sit down, get up, leave, that's not building relationships, is it? And where can you find better people to relate to? Now, please hear me, not perfect people, but just people who can help you in your walk with God. Here's how the psalmist puts it. It's in Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a friend to anyone who fears you. Anyone who obeys your commands. So you sign up for a connect group. Why? I don't know anybody in that group. Good. Get to know somebody new. Well, what if I don't like them? Well, the feeling will probably be mutual, but anyway, try it anyway. What a great attitude to go into it with, right? You sign up for a group. You get to know people. Well, I just don't have the time. What's more important in your life than having godly friends and in your walk with God? You see, your busyness creates your loneliness. So we allow people into our lives. I'll be uncompromising in that. I will hang around. I will be with people. As the psalmist said, I'm a friend of anybody who fears you, anyone who obeys your commands. Young people, as you start school, that's your peers. That's the people you get to be friends with. Secondly, be unconditional in your commitment. Unconditional in your commitment. Look at Proverbs 17:17. A friend is, what's the word? Always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Now, let me ask you a question. How does God accept me? Just as I am, doesn't He? With all the junk I have, right? And God never kicks me to the curb, does He? Even when I fail Him, He never fails me. That's an unconditional friend. I'm going to be your friend no matter what happens. No matter what choices you make, I will be your friend. There comes that place where we don't become wishy-washy. I'll be your friend as long as you do what I want you to do. I'll be your friend as long as you behave in this manner. That's not godly. You see, what you need to do is understand that when you extend the hand to another person in friendship, and you reach out to them, you need to be aware that your other hand is reaching out to God for His acceptance and forgiveness as well. And when I start to think I'm better than them, or I would never do that, or that would never happen to me, I need to deal with a reality check, lest I start thinking I'm something special. Because I'm not. A friend sticks closer than a brother. A friend is always there, is loyal, even in the hard times, even when you don't know what to say, even when you don't know what to do. Friendship means we'll work through this. I'll stay with it, no matter what. Thirdly, be unchangeable in your relationships. Unchangeable in your relationships. Now here's simply what this means. Don't be a phony. Don't be one day, oh, you're my best friend, and the next day, oh, I don't even believe you. One day, oh, this is wonderful, I'm glad you're here. The next day, I think you're a jerk. You need to be a real person all the time, right? Now, please hear me. I am not saying that you walk into a relationship and say, well, it's just the way I am. God made me take it or leave it. You need to get someplace and repent of that sin right there. Because God doesn't intend for you to stay the way you are. Well, it's the way I was born. It's not the way you were born again. Okay, I'll go on. I'll be consistent. I'll be open. I'll be vulnerable. I'll be honest. I'll be authentic. I'll be real. I'll be willing to share struggles I deal with. No, Paul understood this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Now notice what he said. Never once did we try to win you with flattery. Never once did we butter you up. Never once did we pretend to be something we're not. And God is our witness that we're not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. Boy, that's good, isn't it? John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Pastor, if I do this, I may get hurt. No, you will get hurt. Guaranteed. We're people. We hurt people, don't we? We're not perfect, are we? People will disappoint us, won't they? Grow up. Deal with it. That's what happens in relationships. Why do marriages happen? Because two people don't want to grow up and they're blaming each other for all their problems. Rather than loving each other and as the Bible says, making allowances for each other's faults. Now, here's what I know today about you, and you know about me. I've got some faults. And so do you. And when you start being friends with people, you begin to see their faults, don't you? And they begin to see yours, don't they? And then you begin to talk about them. And then you get mad because no one wants to hear about their faults. It's just the way I am. It's just the person I am. It's who God made me to be. No, God made you to be like Him. And remember, I said if you're going to grow in God, you're going to have to deal with your faults, aren't you? Now, you don't become friends so you can pick each other apart. You become friends so you can encourage each other. You become friends so that you can help one another. But understand, in that process, things get messy because relationships are messy. People don't live up to our expectations. People don't do what they want, you know, what they want you to do. I'm in a little dilemma. Tomorrow is my wife and I's anniversary. And I'm trying to figure out, what does she want me to do? You know what I'm saying? Because my life could be difficult for a while. Or my life could be really good for a while. Now you would think after 40 plus years, I would have this down by now, wouldn't you? The problem is, she keeps changing. I keep changing. I wish I could figure it out. I wish it was simpler. But it's not, is it? Hello? Don't make me be alone in this. It's not, is it? It's having relationships with people is effort and work. And so I have to come with this place where I'm willing to be unchangeable. I'll be the same person that God wants me to be. And allow God will take the hurt and He'll use it to help me grow. And I'll go on. Well, Pastor, I get hurt. But what do I do? Well, you have a choice. When you get hurt in a relationship, you got basically two choices. You either allow God to use the hurt to help you grow, you get up and you go on and you learn from it. Or you be alone. You know, the sad thing is, too many Christians have chosen to be alone. Stop making excuses. Start obeying God. Next, be unconcerned for yourself. Please hear me. If you are looking for friends so that you can feel better, you will destroy your relationships. You got to learn this. You got to know this. There is no one on this planet who can make you happy. You are as happy as you choose to be. It's your responsibility. And if you're looking for another person to complete you, to be your soulmate, I just need to find that one. You will be a lonely person all of your life. There is no one who can fulfill you. Only God can do that. Quit trying to make people take the place of God in your life. Why are a lot of relationships destroyed? Because people expect someone else to be God. And they expect them to complete them, to make them, to fulfill them. And only God can do that. Only God can make you truly happy. Only He can give you real joy. Friendship does not ask the question, what's in it for me? If you're in a relationship and you got friends and all you're thinking about it, well, this person isn't doing this person isn't doing this, well, you're being a selfish jerk. Stop it. Grow up. You'll be lonely for a long, long time if that's your mentality. The Bible teaches that you only get to keep what you give away. You want to be a leader? Serve. You want to have? Give. You want friends? Be friendly. Serve others. That's what relationships are for. Relationships are for how can I serve you? In marriage, marriages are healthy when each partner says, how can I serve you? Matthew 10:45, theme verse of Mark, theme verse of the life of Jesus. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. Galatians 5:13, you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, so don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Dr. Carl Menninger was a very well-known psychiatrist. He spent years in the Jewish concentration camp, wrote a very great book called Man's Search for Meaning, also Whatever Became a Sin, another one of his books. And he was once in a lecture on mental health, and he was answering questions from the audience. And one man said, what would you advise a person to do if that person felt a nervousness coming on and felt all alone? What would you consult them to do? Everyone thought he would say, consult a psychiatrist. And to their astonishment, he replied, lock up your house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone who is in need, and do something to help that person. Wow. You see, when it's all about us, you're a lonely person. When it's about others, you never have to be alone. Last one. Be uncontrived in your encouragement. Uncontrived in your encouragement. Be an encourager. No one wants to be around negative, complaining people. Now, if you're a critical person, if you're a judgmental person, a negative person, and if you're that type of person, you need to ask God to change you and repent of your sin. You and I are called, Romans 12:9. Don't pretend. Don't make it up. Don't contrive something to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Well, I hate what's bad in people. You know, people are bad. Hold it. Hate the sin, love the... We all know it, don't we? Boy, I hate what somebody's doing. I see how it's destroying their life. Can you hate that with compassion for them? To understand that what they're dealing with is having a huge effect on their life? Can you put yourself in their place for a moment? Rather than being so judgmental and critical about everything? Anybody can see a problem. But a real friend sees a heart and sees a hurt. And that's why you will find with Jesus when He ministered to people, one of the words that keep cropping up was He was a person of compassion. He cared. Will you see the best in people and not the worst? Hebrews 10:23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Church, connect groups, Sunday school. Let's not neglect that, as some people do, but encourage each other, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Is the day of His return drawing near? We just talked about it last week. It is, isn't it? So what happens when the end starts coming? Here's what happens. We need each other more than ever. Okay, there should have been a rousing, yes, you're right, Pastor. That's great preaching. Way to go. But see, we like our independence, don't we? I don't want to get people too close. Why? I want to be in charge, and it's all about me. It's not about you. Thus, we're lonely. John 14, 15. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. What's that promise? Here's what God's saying to us. Here's what Jesus says to His disciples. I want you to know one thing. You are never alone. The Holy Spirit is here. The word advocate, it means comforter. It means encourager. He says, I'll be with you always. God has put within us, all of us, a need to be connected. Sin breaks the connection. God did not design you to be lonely. Will you stop making excuses? And will you start obeying God? Because that's how you overcome loneliness.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.